Welcome to Season 5 of the Fight Science Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Sullivan. In this series, we are further expanding our knowledge by speaking to experts in the fields of physiology, psychology, nutrition, strength and conditioning, and mindset training. We'll be speaking to the coaches and practitioners who do this every day and to the researchers and academics who are at the forefront of the sciences. Today, our guest is David Neathy. Dave is a master NLP practitioner, master timeline therapist, and master hypnotherapist. Put simply, Dave is an elite level mental performance coach. Dave himself has competed at an elite level in rowing, rugby, and strongman, holding many records in both powerlifting and the New Zealand strongman circuit. He is also the current GPC Masters powerlifting champion. The reason I've asked Dave to come on the podcast is to discuss his work with his elite level combat athletes, which include UFC middleweight champion Israel Adesanya, UFC lightweight prospect Brad Quake Riddell, and UFC flyweight standout Kai Kara France. I've done a lot of podcasts that contain what I would consider vital information for athletes and coaches, but this may very well be the one that makes the top of that list. There's a lot to get through, so let's get to it. All right, green light means we are live. So back for another episode of the Fight Science Podcast. So our second episode from my mandatory 14-day isolation, which is nearly up, thank the good Lord above. But today we are joined by a very special guest by way of New Zealand. We've got Mr. Dave Neathy. Dave, thanks for coming on, mate.
Thanks, Jordan. I appreciate it, mate.
Now, for everyone listening at home, we will get into Dave's background, but Dave is one of the most top level and sought after mental coaches in not only New Zealand, but around the world, working with CEOs, corporates, high level athletes, anyone who's looking to get a mental edge. Before we get going, Dave, I don't normally ask for people to give a background because we give the introduction at the start, but your background is wild. So I kind of want you to go over it and talk us, what's your background athletically? And then how did you kind of move into this mental coach space?
Yeah, so for me, mate, I sort of started, it probably really started for me at the end of high school. Going through high school, I went to Wesley College, which is predominantly Maori and Pacific Islanders. And you can appreciate these boys at 15, they've got beards. And this little fella here was waiting for a pube to arrive. You know what I mean? So it was bloody tough, mate. And there was a lot of bullying and beatings and whatnot. And it's all part and parcel of the path of life, mate. But I decided, you know, I'm sick and tired of being sort of being beaten up. So I'm gonna be a big bastard. I'll be smashing these guys. You know what I mean? So I started the weight training, but I got into a number of different sport, rowing and rugby league, and I thoroughly enjoyed all those things. But what I found through that transition was I really liked the iron game. So I started a little journey of getting into the gym. I was influenced back in the day by Arnold Schwarzenegger and all that sort of thing. But what I did notice was it's almost like I started kicking in with the growth at about 17, 18, 19. By the time I was, so I was rowing and I finished, by the time I was 21, I was up to about 118 kgs in the winter playing rugby. And then, mate, I just got obsessed with the weight training side of things. And so from there, I sort of started specializing in powerlifting and strongman. So I started doing strongman training. So I was on the New Zealand Strongest Man circuit back in the 90s. I set a couple of records, one for a truck pull and carrying a 180K anvil and all that sort of thing. I thoroughly enjoyed it because... for me, that was like my alter ego. You know, I wanted to be that massive dude. But whilst I was going down that path, mate, you sort of get to a point where, if I was going to go further with my strongman, you have to start making some certain decisions. And I just didn't sit right for me to go down the path of taking drugs. So the reality was, I still want to compete in this because I love this sport, but I wasn't going to be one of those guys going, oh, well, they're on fucking drugs, so it's not fair. I mean, I made the call. I decided to go in it, so I had to find the edge. So I went and looked at what the Russians were doing, and ironically, they were doing a lot of drugs. But what I noticed was that they were doing a lot of work on the mind, and in particular, hypnosis. So I got quite intrigued with the hypnosis side of things and started studying it. And from there, backed into a technology called neuro-linguistic programming, and then started studying that along with a multitude of other courses. And this was originally for me to developing myself mentally because I wanted to push through the barriers. And then I started having guys asking me questions about how I can improve, help them improve their performance. And the next thing you know, mate, at that point I was a printer. So I left school with no qualifications. I hated school. I'm dyslexic as well. So I really struggled in learning. I started this business, and here I've been doing it now. I'm coming up 25 years as a mental performance coach. And it blows my mind, Jordan, the amount of the clientele, the stories, the lives that you've changed and improved, and champions that I've helped develop. It's mind-blowing, mate.
Yeah, and that's something I want to get into, Dave, because obviously we share a lot of mutual clients as well. You work very closely with a lot of the top of the crop at City Kickboxing is where I do a lot of my work. I want to get into that, but before we start talking about those guys and how you integrate all of that with them, let's talk about how you started integrating it with yourself. What did you find when you were learning all of this and you were learning the NLP? Was it just like a mind-blown experience and you're like, okay, I'm going to put this in here? Or was it a gradual thing that you integrated? Or how did it happen when you...
It's interesting, mate. When I sort of look back on myself, it wasn't like I wasn't a leader. You know, I was very much a follower. But what I noticed over a period of time is that I became more self-assured, I became really comfortable with myself and comfortable and proud of myself. Do you know what I mean? And this, I just had this ability to influence people around me with energy and with a positivity. And it's quite amazing when you go through life and you can affect people within seconds in a positive way. It really gives me a buzz. For instance, I went into the cafe today and, everyone's waiting in line and I just start having a little bit of banter with everyone, you know, and it's like the whole energy changed. And I love that, you know, it's sort of like, you know, I don't know who the fuck that bald guy was, but he's fucking hilarious, you know what I mean? And I just get a buzz out of helping people. I get a buzz out of seeing people change and grow, man.
Yeah, for sure. And you do it very well, like exceptionally well. I remember the first time I heard about you was when, obviously, with the City Kickboxing guys. And what we were talking, it was with Brad. I was chatting to Brad and he said, you know what? He's worked with you for quite a while, but I think it was two fights ago, he was talking about how you guys shifted your focus for what he wanted to concentrate on. And he said, that was such a monumental change for me for the better, for the positive. And that really made me think, and especially for me, and I guess other people that work with elite level athletes, everyone trains hard, everyone puts in the time, everyone grinds, everyone eats well, this mental side of it. And a lot of these guys say to me, whether it's Israel, Brad, Kai, whoever it is, they all say the mind is a powerful, powerful tool. So let's talk about that. Dave, how do you go about it with these guys? Let's talk about the athletes. I know you work with lots of people. But with the athletes, what is your game plan with these guys? What are you doing exactly with these guys?
Okay, so what we'll do is let's put this into a context, you know. So here's the thing, you know, when you think about the fight game, when we use it in that context, what I say to people is, you know, how many of you believe that part of the fight game is mental? Now, everyone puts their hands up, right? And I say, well, if we were to put it in a percentage, what sort of percentage? How important is it? Now, I generally averagely get between 70 and 100%, right? That's how important the mind is, okay? Then I say to them, well, if that's the case, how many of you guys put 70 to 100% of your time and effort into developing your mind? You know, we spend so much time in all the peripheral things, and not saying that they're all, but all I, as I said to these guys, listen, with respect to your trainers, your coaches, your dietitians, your massage therapists, whoever, all that support network is so important. However, the moment that you step into that octagon, it is 100% mental. That is it. Because if you do not have undoubtable belief in yourself, you're fucked. Do you know what I mean? And so we're not dismissing all the other stuff. It's absolutely vital. But it's redundant if the fighter doesn't believe. And what I'm interested in is, how do I ensure that when these guys step into that octagon, they absolutely are congruent with that? They absolutely undoubtedly know that they are putting forward the best version of themselves. So working through that. So for instance, let's look at the quick story with Izzy. So Izzy's girlfriend at the time contacted me and said, look, he's going through a bit of a tough time. He's had two losses over in the one fight game over there in China. And it's not the same. He just doesn't, he's going through it. Obviously, when you have two losses, let's just say it does impact on your belief systems, yeah? And as I said many a time about Israel, Israel is one of the most intelligent men you'll ever meet. He's a very, very smart, articulate man. And so what we talked about was developing some belief systems and challenging some of those thought processes. But what we did develop is his alter ego. And through those sessions, we developed Stylebender. And you can imagine this, mate. You know, if you or I were to go into the ring together and you were to fight me, or my alter ego being, say, a 1,000 kg raging bull, which of the two would you rather fight? Do you know what I mean? And so what it is that it's just one of the ways, because every fight is different, right? I don't believe in cut and paste coaching, mate. So what I do with one fighter, I'll probably do something slightly different from everyone else. Because I think we have to treat each fighter as an individual. And it's looking at assessing what their needs are, what their fears are, what their perceptions are, and changing all that so that when you think about their goals and their vision, their intentions and their attention are both in alignment. So the conscious and subconscious mind, their behavior, their thoughts, and their belief systems. So with Israel, we started developing this alter ego, and oh my God, Stylebender was born. You don't fuck with a Stylebender, bud. You know what I mean? That guy is, you know, remember when you were a kid and everyone had everyone could, you know, you're out there fighting, you pretended to be the Hulk, or you pretended to be, you know, Israel, because he's so fucking smart. He'd be one of those pricks who goes, oh, I'm everything proof. Do you know what I mean? Oh, fuck, that doesn't, it's not fair, man. Do you know what I mean? No, I'm everything proof. So anything you got doesn't work on me. And what it is for him is, now, here's the ultimate thing. You know, we've heard this before. It's so fucking important to train hard. But I want these guys having fun in that octagon. I want them calm. I want them focused. And I want them in their altered state. So what they bring is more than all the parts that they actually are. And that's something really fucking cool, man, because, you know, I have so many fighters come to me and they feel that they have to get amped up and aggro. And I'm saying, listen, think about this, guys. Ultimately, fighting's about being in the zone. And let's define what that is. Well, the zone for me, firstly, is I want you to be calm. Why is it important to be calm? Because here's the thing. Think about leadership. If you're an officer at war or a CEO of a company and the shit's hitting the fan, what defines a good leader is their ability to make good decisions under stress. And what I want with my fighters is I want them to be able to assess and make good decisions under stress. You do not make good decisions when you're aggro. When you're angry, we don't think right. When you're calm and focused, what actually happens when you're in that state or that zone? We're talking about being really assertive here. Is when you're in that state, you can get to a point, and even Izzy has talked about this, where it's like time distortion. Like he can slow down time and he can see where that punch is aimed, where he's going to move. And it's almost, it seriously is like the Matrix with Izzy, isn't it? How many times we've seen that kick and it's missed by milliseconds, but he's like he's got all the time in the world to move. Do you know what I mean? Because he's in such a state of conscious engagement. It's a powerful thing, mate. So the other key thing is, so there's three states that I talk about. One is calm. Then we talk about being happy. And the reason why I want the guys being happy about fighting is the biggest problem we have with a lot of fighters is that they try too hard. And they go in there, amped up, aggro, and gas out and make stupid decisions. This fight game is about intellect, mate. This fight game is about endurance. It's about technique. But ultimately, it's your ability to make a combination of good decisions over a period of time to maximize the outcome, which is either knocking them out, submission, or the decision. And so if we can improve the probability of that, then we're going to go on a journey all the way to the top. And this is what, you know, we were talking about with Brad. He's gone through a paradigm change. So he's sort of gone to a point where he has what we call an undoubtable belief in self. When a guy comes in, one of the first things I'll do is I'll sit them down and go, right, before we start, I want to ask you something. And that is, do you give me permission to be blunt and honest? Because I'm not here to blow smoke up your ass, mate. And believe me, you know, these are all top fighters, but I don't give a fuck. I will challenge these dudes, right? And sometimes there are sessions when they fucking don't like me. But I will touch on buttons that they don't want to touch. Do you know what I mean? But it has to be done. And so we peel back this and we look at what are some of those fears. What are some of the subconscious things that can possibly contaminate? You know, you think about this. I had a situation with an athlete that if they were to have some success, the impact on that was that they were going to have more time away from his family. And he was wondering why his performance wasn't going the way it was. Because every time, and he was a golfer, so every time he nailed that putt, that got him into another event. He was spending more time away. So part of him wants to win. Part of him is going, these are the consequences of that based on my values, and family is really important for me. And so you can cause that. But he never, ever contemplated that until we had that discussion. Now, that guy's been very successful, but has organized his year a little bit more effectively and is netting around about $1.5 million a year. So he's not too unhappy with me, eh?
Yeah, I bet.
Do you know what I mean? And then this is the buzz that you get is working with people. Israel is a freak. Israel is kind of going down, I think, is one of the greatest of all time. The next guy to keep an eye on is Brad Riddell. Kai, not far behind. He's only young, though. Now, Kai's fight was outstanding. you know, he certainly deserved that fight bonus without a doubt. And he's only young, this kid, so he's got a lot of potential. Brad Riddell is our next guy. That, watch this space, mate. He is just, like you said, is like a paradigm change in his thinking. You know, what I work with these athletes is, you know, I want you to start acting as if. So what do you want to be? I want to be all-time champion. Well, then you've got to start behaving like that now, not when you get there. You know how we seem to think the evidence is I only be allowed to sort of behave like that as I go through the ranks. You've got to start thinking like a champion now. And here's the key word that these guys use that they love, and that is, I want you to give yourself permission to be world champ right now. And when they put that on, when they feel that, suddenly the whole physiology changes. And what's interesting, mate, we all agree that most of these fighters, they all train fucking hard. If they're smart, they see someone, Jordan Sullivan, for their nutrition. Good plug there, mate. You know, they're doing, what I talk about is all stone, no stones unturned. We are looking at all aspects for recovery, protocols, supplementation, diet, nutrition, etc. Sleep, everything. And when you think about, we then twink our focused attention in every single one of those areas because we have this perception of, I'm a world champion. And there's a more of a conscious engagement to behave in that way. So the best way to explain it, it's like, what would you rather have? $1 that doubles every day for 30 days or $5 million in cash right now? And I think a lot of guys focus on the cash. And what I'm talking about is, by developing these specific behaviors, by holding yourself to a high level of conscious engagement, asking more of yourself, over a period of time, it's not very exciting. You know, over 20 days, it's whatever it is. It's not, 5 minutes is looking sexy. However, in those last couple of days, I think it ticks over $100 million. And that's what we're doing, is that we're fine-tuning these athletes, little things. For instance, most athletes will arrive at the gym, they'll park the car, they'll grab their gear, they'll lock the car, they'll walk in, have a bit of banter, get prepped and ready, and off they go, banging. My athletes arrive in the car park and take a moment to remind themselves of what that vision is, what their purpose is. Because when you train with a purpose, you'll sharpen that saw. And that's all I'm looking for, is just the little 1% things. You know, as a nutritionist, mate, you know, how many of the boys absolutely adhere to what you say 100%? Not many. And there are some, I'm sure. However, you're probably smart enough to know that there's a little bit of flexibility within that, and you allow for that, right? But imagine if every single one of your guys took a professional responsibility to adhere to what you say with absolute conviction, because that was what was required to help build those belief systems that I am a fucking world champion. Mate, you're going to be... I just say, fuck, there's no fee, mate. Just give me a commission off your fights, motherfuckers, because you'll be making shitloads, right? So this is what we want. We want to hold these guys to a higher level of conscious engagement. They walk around with clarity of their purpose. There's nothing more powerful than knowing where you are, who you are, and where the fuck you're going, and nothing will get in their way. Then we start aligning the values and the belief systems to support that. Then you unleash the beast, mate. We develop champions.
Yeah, quite literally. And I think even just coming to mind, even you saying that, if I do have one person who has gone through a paradigm shift and who does stick to it 100%, it is Brad. And I think a lot of it is due to that undoubted focus that he has. Dave, when these guys are coming in, is this something that when you sit down with someone, is it something that you can tell straight away? I think when we see Israel, I think he has such a presence about him. You know straight away that this guy is in a high level of thinking. Same with Brad. You come in, this guy has an elevated sense of self and they have a presence about him. Is this something that everyone can do, or is it something that some people have it, some people don't, or can it be taught or instilled in everyone?
It can be taught. It can be taught and everyone has it. So here's the thing. This is where, as human beings, we're really good at fucking putting limitations on ourselves, right? So I've always said to people, look, in order for you to be able to be like that, to be like Israel, you need one lot of things, right? And if you haven't got it, might as well fucking forget it. It's 100 trillion cells, man. What are we made up of?
100 trillion cells.
Well, then you've got everything you need to do whatever you fucking want. You know, we're really good at making excuses. Well, I'll never be because fuck off. I think the key thing that Israel and a lot of these top athletes have is what I call a tenacious resolve. They're tenacious. They will work and outwork. I mean, we talk about certain behaviors. I'll give you an example. I was very blessed to help develop a young lady called Lydia Ko, who became the world's youngest golfing sensation. And someone said to me, what was the secret to Lydia's success? And I said, one question that she used to ask constantly. And I go, oh, yeah, what's that? And she said, can I just hit one more? Now you can imagine Lydia would come home from school, straight to the range, and she would hit balls. 11 o'clock at night, we're all there going, fuck, man, I want to go home. I'm tired. And what do you think she'd ask? Can I just hit one more? And then when she's fucking hit that one, you'd think she's going to ask, can I just hit one more? Do you know what I mean? And what it was is she enjoyed the training. She enjoyed that part. She knew it was important. But she had work ethic. She would outwork everyone else. You know, it's amazing. Now I've developed a multitude of golfing champions. And it's interesting. I'll come in and say, look, how many kids come in and say, I want you to model Lydia? And so these guys are coming and going, okay, so how many balls are you hitting a day? Oh, about 50 to 100. And I say, well, Lydia would hit over 300 every single day. Three times the work that you're doing, mate. So what you can appreciate, you know, everyone has the fundamental makeup to be a success. What then has to happen to a certain point is you need to identify, and I talk about this with goal setting. It's about being completely unrealistic. Fuck being real. Let's dream for a minute. If you couldn't fail, what would you like to do with your life? Right? Now, I'm going to put this into a context because I like scaring the shit out of myself, right? So here you can appreciate, when I left school, I had no qualifications. So the old man pulled some strings and I became an apprentice. So I'm a qualified printer, my friend. There you go. And all the ladies out there, I used to do the magazines. Fucking boring as fuck. I hated that job. But I had this dream, mate. And when I started, and I've got a little picture on the wall here next to me that reminds me. I'll see if I can just show you without stuffing things up. But there's a picture there of me on stage.
Big crowd, yeah.
Whole big crowd, right? That was my vision, mate. Now, I live that week in and week out, doing seminars and whatnot. And I remember one day, two stories. One was when I was training with all my mates. And I'm in my piece of shit old bunged up car because that's all I could afford. And I had barbells in the boot of it because I had no money. I couldn't afford even a fucking gym membership. And I picked up some old fucking weights from mate who was getting rid of them. So I'm out training one day and the boys are all smoking dak and having a beer and going, what the fuck, mate? You coming and get on the piss, mate? And I went, nah. I'm training, fuck off, leave me alone. They went, ah, come on, bro. I said, mate, fuck off, I'm training. Well, what are you training for? I said, one day I'm going to be the strongest man in the country. Well, mate, they just cracked up fucking laughing. What a fucking joke, eh? So I left. 6 years later, my first New Zealand strongman, I set the record for the heaviest truck pull and was leading the event. Now, I've never won New Zealand Strongest Man, but I've come top five, mate, and I'm fucking pretty proud of that, right? So that guy, those guys that were mocking me, one of them phoned me and went, oh, Neithi, I just saw you on TV, bro. What makes the champion sometimes isn't so much about the people that support you. What can motivate you is those fuckers that say you can't. Do you know what I mean? You look at Israel's story, mate, you know, guys used to give him shit because he used to dance. Well, mate, he's dancing all over you in the fucking ring, motherfucker. Do you know what I mean? And you'll find with these guys, there's a certain denominator. We're talking about the attributes of a champion. They're fucking determined, motherfuckers. They will outwork every other motherfucker. They are obsessed with it. They are keen to learn. And there is a presence about them, but that takes time. That takes years of fucking practice and conviction and belief. Izzy's been working on this for fucking how long? Look at Brad's story. He's been in the middle of fucking China in a piece of shit fucking train trying to find a place to train. These guys, all these little moments, and even Brad will say he was probably a little immature in that, but as they grow with maturity and clarity, you start developing a mindset, mate. And a lot of it is through some of the tough times that they go through. And I think a lot of these guys have got beautiful stories of absolute conviction to what they want, even though a lot of the evidence around them says, mate, you should quit and get a fucking job. They've held on to that. You know, there's a little saying that I work with, that I use with a lot of clients, and that is, if you want to walk on water, first you got to step out of the boat. You know what I mean? And it's fucking scary. But if you truly have a belief in yourself, you have a clear vision of what that is, you've got a conviction to working your ass off, and you expect to win, there's a recipe for success. And that's powerful, mate.
This series of the podcast is brought to you by TrainAid. TrainAid is a product that I developed for extremely selfish reasons, to make my athletes better. As you guys are aware, I work with world-renowned City Kickboxing, home of two current UFC world champions and many more contenders on the rise. My job with them is to use the principles of performance nutrition to make sure these athletes are recovering as best as they can to ensure they are getting the most out of themselves in training every single session. Despite all of the great things they do to achieve this, there has always been one area that we've never really nailed: hydration. I noticed how despite training for hours on end and losing significant amount of fluids, we just weren't getting it back in before the next session later that day. Dehydration can have a real effect on your training quality and how you recover after that session. That's why I developed our TrainAid hydration solution, so athletes can have a supplement that is backed by science, made by someone who understands their needs and skips all of the gimmicky marketing. In short, it was developed to make my athletes better. If you want to find out more, head to www.trainaid.com. All right, back to the podcast.
Dave, with these personas that you're building it and everything you're saying, I see this in the guys. I see this, and I'm very, very fortunate enough as a you that we get to be around these guys and you get to see this play out in real time. And especially with Israel, it's almost like that Conor McGregor Mystic Mac thing, is that I predict these things, and what I say is going to happen is going to happen. And if you can think back on Israel's career, when he won the AFC belt, he said, hey, mark my words, in a couple, 2 years, this is going to be a UFC belt. And then even before that, when the UFC were chasing him, he was saying, no, no, I'm taking my time. Patience. I know when I'm going to be ready, and it's going to happen on my terms. When you're building that persona of Stylebender, are you building that pathway with them? Are you working with them and mapping this out? Or how does this all come that you put this complete picture together with this alter ego that you're building?
Well, what you can appreciate is that the key components here is knowing my role, which has helped to develop them mentally. What these guys have is they have an exceptional team around them. Eugene and Doug, I mean, amazing what those guys have done. And Eugene will be the one that will be strategically looking at who we're fighting next on that pathway. Now, I can trust that is taken care of. My job is just to ensure that when we get there, he's ready. So yeah, a lot of it comes back to the good quality management of these fighters and progressively, I mean, there is a real art to choosing your opponent on a pathway. So these guys will have a strategic plan. They'll look at the bigger picture, and they'll have a strategic plan on how they're going to execute that and eventually get into the ultimate, which is UFC champion. And that applies to boxing, and it applies to a number of the other fighters, whether it's Muay Thai, etc.
How did you, I guess this is a question that's been kind of burning on my mind, is the whole persona of, say, Stylebender for Israel. Like, everyone realizes that Israel loves, you know, Naruto and comic books. Was that something you identified quite early on? And like you said, you almost made comic books into life, and you said...
Well, interestingly enough, how it came about, mate, was a conversation that we had. Now, one of the biggest communicators when I'm working with someone is I'm always assessing their physiology, their language, and factoring all this while I'm communicating with someone. And what I noticed, and we're having a conversation, and when he started talking about Stylebender, because I don't know what the fuck that is, mate. I'm not into this Japanese, you know. I'm fucking 52. I'm old, mate, you know. My thing was Captain Caveman or shit on cartoon, you know. So what I noticed when he started talking about it, there was this massive change in his physiology. And I just played with it. I said, so, you know, just tell me a little bit. I mean, imagine you were there right now. And then suddenly there was this complete change. And just the tone and his physiology changed. And I thought, fuck yeah, that's fucking interesting. Let's play with this. And I think he was always, to a certain point, kind of playing with it, but I don't think he was conscious of it, if you know what I mean. But when we started working on it, I think the thing is with Israel, the other thing you've got to appreciate, he's a really enthusiastic learner. Like, he won't dismiss anything. You know, it's interesting how I talk about how I observe something in him, and we took that and we developed it. He's now constantly doing that with all the fighters. So he's constantly assessing everything you say, whether or not you're congruent with that, your physiology. He's picking up on all the subconscious communication. And even this, to a certain point with the boys, I start talking about, you know, the communication model. We talk about physiology. We talk about languaging. We talk about congruent communication. So these guys start to understand how people communicate and can identify whether someone is congruent or not. Just little markers. And that can just give you a little bit of information, which can build some real sense of confidence, mate.
Yeah, sure. It's mind-blowing, right?
Yeah, it is powerful stuff.
And coming back to Brad, and you're talking about, and you said before, the next one to watch and the next New Zealand and world champion is going to be Brad Riddell. And I think anyone that's been around Brad, as you see it, and he firmly believes it. Like, he firmly believes that. And Brad hasn't always been like that. And I think even Brad is fine with us saying that because he knows that and everyone around him knows that. But like we're saying, we keep saying he's had this paradigm shift. Can you kind of talk us through what is that process without giving away, obviously, your secrets and whatnot? Because that's a monumental paradigm shift that Brad's gone through. And it is. And it's like, whenever he says it to me, I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced that Brad will be the next world champion.
Yeah, and that's the convincer, is that he's congruent with it, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know how people, how many times, Jordan, you've heard people say, I want to be world champion?
Oh, hundreds.
And you go, fuck, no, you're not. You're miles short of the mark. I mean, I get it all the time, mate, right?
Dave, all the time I hear this, and guys come in, and this is something that has blown me away with your work, right? Because, and I think particularly Israel and Brad, when they speak, and like you said, I hear this hundreds of thousands of times with my clients, other people that say it, those two, I believe it. And there's no sense of doubt that goes through my mind, because the way they look at me, the tone that they say it, the energy they exude when they say it, confidence, the ego that builds when they say these type of things, the sense of self, I can't not believe it. Like, Michael, how are you developing that in them? And is this,
well, you know where it starts? Well, it starts with building a real rapport and trust with these guys. So you got to appreciate, you know, I get to delve into certain parts of their lives that, let's just say, there's very few people that may know some of this stuff. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I've got secrets from people that should have made. I could write a book and make a lot of money. You know what I mean? But it's building that rapport. But, if I was to sum it up, and honestly, it might seem really simplistic, but there's something very powerful when I say, give yourself permission. Now, people are very quick to dismiss that when you say, okay, so what? What are you saying? I'm going to give myself to be world champ. Yep, give yourself permission. Oh, yeah, okay, give myself world, you know what I mean? But when these guys really take that on and go, you know what? I want to give myself permission. And you think about this as a kid, when you really wanted that lolly. You're there with mum, you're looking at mum, and she's, yeah, okay, you can have one. She gave you permission. Fucking feels good. When you give permission to yourself, you know, and I challenge these guys because I don't want them to be a champion. I want them to be the champion. And so we map that with the visual cues. With Kai, with Brad, with Israel, they've already seen themselves in that so vividly that it affects their neurology. So think about this. Here's Brad, say, 2 years ago. And in that time, he had a CD, and it was playing certain tracks, right? Now, the reality is some of those tracks are not quite congruent with what the vision is. So what I do is I come in and I'll scratch the fuck out of it, and we lay down some new tracks that are all congruent with what that vision is. And what happens is that it affects you at a subconscious level where there is an absolute undoubtable belief in self. I can fucking feel it. And these guys, like I said, they behave 1% different from everyone else every single day. Now, it's insignificant, but at the end of the year, they're 365% better than anyone else that was around them. Hence why you guys come to me, they're like this, and then suddenly they start taking off, and people go, what the fuck's going on? Now, what's interesting for me is I talked about unsolicited positive feedback. So with Brad, I have his girlfriend going, what the fuck, Dave? He is so calm for these fights. Whereas before, he used to get amped up. You know, it's easy to stay calm when you know you're going to win. You know, put it to you this way. Like I said, if you and I were going to fight, if you believed I was going to win and I believed I was going to win, who do you think is going to win? Me every time, bro. You know what I mean? It's the power of perception, eh?
Yeah, for sure.
And imagine going out and absolutely trusting and knowing that you are. I want them to be fearless. Now, are they going to get a little anxious? Fuck yeah, of course they are. But not to the point it disempowers them. Fuck me, you're having a fight for fuck's sake. Wake the fuck up. I don't want you going to go, oh, okay, you ready? These guys are amped up and ready to go. But that's what they feel inside. Imagine being so calm inside because you knew. And being able to deploy, because one thing you've got to appreciate with these boys is they have the most incredible brain behind them in Eugene. And Eugene has a fucking plan. And that guy's a fucking freak, mate. So when he gets together, because you've got the best trainers with Doug, you've got fucking Andre and all these boys drilling this shit into them. But when you're calm, can you deploy command? Yes. When you're freaking out, can you make good decisions? No. So when you're calm, focused, and you're excited about the fight, and then when you step in that ring, you become more than all those parts, something so fucking powerful, God help you. And being able to do that with a real conviction, not with just an idea, but with true conviction. Every cell in your body fucking knows. And I'll tell you something, you can throw a jab in the other state, then throw a jab in this state, and this one fucking hurts. Do you know what I mean? You can throw a kick and it fucking hurts, or you can throw a kick and it's devastating. It sends shockwaves up their spine into the central nervous system going, stop now. You imagine if you were hit with that sort of intense, powerful stuff, mate.
It is. It is powerful stuff. And you see that. I think me and you spoke about it. I remember one time watching Israel, and it was like he was in the Matrix, and he was just slipping outside the glove. 1 centimeter, right? And then boom.
You know what I said to you? When you're in that state, you get to control time. Hence what I said to you. The guy throws a kick. He can see it coming. He has all the time in the world to make a decision as to where he wants to be for the counterpunch. Israel is 3 seconds ahead of everyone at all times. It's not fucking fair, is it? If you knew I was going to throw that jab or that kick, and I already knew that, it's not fucking fair.
It's crazy. That's what it is. It's wild. But it's, you know, it's even more wild though, Dave. It's true. That's the most craziest thing. That's why it's so crazy. It's true.
We're not bullshitting ourselves. We've got the fucking evidence on film. You know, and for me, it just, you know, when I develop these guys, it's like, for me, it's, I'm like a proud dad. Do you know what I mean? It's not like I win everything, mate. You know, sometimes, you know, like with Kai, I was so fucking proud. I mean, that was a freaky fucking elbow, you know. To be honest, a little bit of luck there. But, you know, he's another kid who, given time, you watch this space, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Kai is one of the most phenomenal athletes I've had the pleasure of working with, even just his tenacity. I think I've seen Kai push through things that I didn't think were humanly possible to push through, whether that's...
He's one tenacious little shit. And I love that about him. Do you know what I mean? You know, and what I think the other thing we've got to appreciate, especially in this fight game. You know, I think one of the most important things that you need in this fight game is intellect. You know, Kai, Brad, Israel are all very, very smart men. They're intellectuals. They study the fight game. They're interested in the craft. Do you know what I mean? And I think there's something very important because they're not just there to get in the ring and bang. I think that's for the dumb fucks out there that are quite happy to get beaten up on a Saturday night and say they're a boxer or a fighter. They haven't got dreams. They haven't got aspirations. They just, the ego trip of just getting into a ring. Well, look, you know, if that's your gig, that's all cool. But for me, I'm interested in people that are prepared to be structured, disciplined, tenacious, hardworking, but more importantly, in love with the craft of fighting and to being the best fucking versions of themselves. Because this is not just about the fight game. This is about, for me, you know, you think about the shit, the sacrifices and the crap that these guys go through. I want an outcome for them, not just to obviously have a title, but I want them to have a life. There has to be a payoff for all this. And Israel gets what he deserves. I want these guys, you know, these guys pretty much were making enough money to eat. They go through struggle. Now, people, you think about this, there's a little saying, pain means new life. These guys go through a lot of pain and sacrifice. You know, you think about this, for a lot of fighters out there, the reality is, I'm not cheap to see. Do you know what I mean? And I make no apology for that because fuck it, I'm the best in the world at what I do. You will pay top dollar to see me. And those that are prepared to make that effort to come up with that money, in of itself, it shows the conviction and the desire. Do you know what I mean? They are prepared. Because I'm not asking them to do something that I haven't done. I know what it's like to go through the struggle. And I think sometimes these things are very important. You have to do your honorable hours. You have to do your homework. You have to go through your struggles. It's a beautiful thing, man, because it conditions you. It will test your resolve. Do you want this or not? Because the first 7 years in this fight game, for instance, may be horrific, may be awful. You get fuck all for fighting in some fucking dodgy spots with some fucking drunken, ugly pricks watching you. You know what I mean? It's not glamorous. And you go back to your stinking fucking gym and you work your ass off and you get enough money to buy noodles. But there is a fucking payoff to it if you are tenacious enough and have that fucking conviction to that vision of being a world champ. That's why the rewards are there. And let's face it, today's world, there is a legitimate pathway for fighters to make some amazing money. 20 years ago, very few were making anything. And I think to a certain point, we've got to take our hats off to the guys out there that pioneered all this because now we have a legitimate pathway. The UFC in of itself has evolved dramatically and what Dana and his organization has done is phenomenal.
Hey, Dave, just why we're talking about that, because as you said that and talking about dealing you know, with the lows because you've got the visions of the highs. Obviously, Kai went through, you know, a low the other weekend. He had a phenomenal fight, but at the end of the day, we didn't take away the win. Something that I noticed instantly with Kai, as soon as he got off the bus, yes, he was disappointed that he lost, but it was almost his attitude towards it was very different. His attitude towards that loss, he wasn't dragging his knuckles on the ground. He wasn't...
Wasn't feeling sorry for himself. None of this victim shit, because I'll tell you this now, I won't fucking tolerate it, not with my clients. So here's the thing. What we have to appreciate, and I think this is a really poignant subject, and we talk about failure. For me, with my clients, first and foremost, there is no such thing as failure. There is only learning. So what I talk about with my fighters is preserve the learnings, let go of the negative emotions, right? Because what tends to happen is they have a fight, they fucking sulk, right? Then they'll start making fucking excuses. Then they start blaming fucking, or they're in denial about their own insecurities. Now, we've had a prime example of that just recently with the young fellow that fought Israel. What are we hearing now on Instagram? We've got denial, we've got blame, and we've got excuses. Well, I'm sorry, those things won't go away. If you're going to constantly use that, you'll never be a champion. Kai came back and he took ownership for that situation, right? He was accountable for it. He was responsible for it. And because of that, it gives and it allows him to maintain a, what I call a strong self-image. So for the viewers out there, I want to explain something about the importance of the self-image. So imagine a crystal bowl full of crystal clear water, right? And you can see your goals and your vision through that. Now imagine this. We have something like 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day. God help the poor prick trying to keep count, right? Now, of those thoughts, some of them can contaminate and some of them contribute to building that self-image, but also there's a lot of negative self-talk. Now imagine this. Imagine if you weren't smart enough to be conscious of protecting your self-image, so you have all this contaminating thoughts go in there like a little, like it's like a little bit of dye from a pen, just a little drop. But imagine if you had, say, 20,000 drops of ink. Very soon you won't be able to see where your vision is. And so for me, we learn to, we have an action reflection process with the coaching. We will debrief. I've got all the boys booked in for the debriefs. And we then look at it on how we can reframe everything to serve us. So failure is a beautiful learner. You know, if you're learning, are you moving forward? Absolutely. Right? And isn't this fight game about learning? Isn't nutrition about learning? You're learning all the time. Like, what combinations of food actually feel better in my gut? That's important information. Imagine, you know, as a nutritionist, if you have guys that have good gut health and are eliminating properly, they're probably going to feel fucking $1 million, right? But then you've got to work out what foods do or do not cause that. Not everyone can eat broccoli, for fuck's sake. I know I can't. Anyway, so what you've got to appreciate is that we reframe everything to serve us. Now, most of us don't have that level of consciousness. So what we'll do is we'll just surrender to the contaminating thoughts. And then you go, you know, your whole self-image starts to drop. Mate, he came off there, and I've already had a little quick chat with Kai. And you know how he reframed it? He goes, mate, I was pretty happy I did it. And you know what? I'm fucking proud of my fight bonus. I said, well, isn't that in of itself affirmation of how fucking committed and brilliant you were? You may not have won, mate. It was a freaky fucking knockout. But fuck, mate, you were certainly respected, especially by Dana. I don't know about you, another $50,000 fucking fight bonus. I'm not going to go, ah, come on. Is that it? I mean, I'm happy with that, eh?
Oh, yeah, big time.
So you imagine going through life where if you could reframe everything to, okay, what's the learning here? I want to take ownership of this. What's the learning? What can I ensure to I can learn from this to make me a better fighter? Fuck, let's look at blah, blah, blah. And you know what? It's like it gets exciting because you're really starting to analyze yourself, your fight plan, your processes. You start developing those weaknesses and go, right, I'm going to turn that into a strength. I'm going to prioritize that. I program that. And, you know, this is the art of fighting. It's no different from a business. You're working on it. You know, when they go in the ring, you're working in it. But when you come out, you're working on it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
And it's, who's the most important project of your life, mate? The most important project you'll ever work on is you. Fuck, I'm excited about learning from this. And my God, the enthusiasm that Kai will have for his next fight. Fucking God help whoever that dude is. Because he will be presenting a better version of himself. I will guarantee you that.
And again, I'll say it. I said it before. It's different when you're talking to these guys. Brad, Israel, you feel that. And even Kai, like, you know, you work with hundreds of athletes, like myself, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of athletes. You see that difference when people go through that adversity or when athletes take a loss, how they respond to it. And it's something that's stood out. And I've worked with Kai for quite a while, his whole UFC career. And every time it's the same. It's okay. Yeah, it happened. Let's acknowledge it. But these are what I took from it and let's move on. And it's phenomenal to see.
And his time will come. You know, he is, you know, this is, it's inevitable. If he continues the way he is, it's inevitable he'll get to that title fight.
For sure. I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
And I'm fucking excited to see him there, mate.
I too. I'm very conscious of time and I'm getting too amped up from this talk. So we might have to pull it now before I start jumping through the roof. But Dave, Mr. Dave Neathy, Big Dave Neathy. Obviously, people listening to this are going to be just as amped up as I am right now, and they're going to go, holy smokes, I need to work with Dave. I need to at least be in contact with Dave. I need to follow his work. Best way for guys to follow you on socials, what's your website? And if you do have the capacity to take on people, how do people get in contact with you?
Okay, so there is a website. Don't ask me about it. I'm not into the social. I have an Instagram, but I don't even know what it is. I mean, so it's www.davenethycoach.com. That's the website. Throw a little inquiry through. Generally, I respond relatively quickly. As long as you're patient, because I can have up to sort of a 5 to 7 week waiting list, mate. But I will be in touch. I will chat, and I will always be engaging and professional, mate.
And everyone who's listening, if you want to follow Dave on Instagram, I just got it up. Big Dave, BigDave02. Highly recommend. But Dave, thank you so much for that, mate. That is an amazing episode. I think that's probably going to be one of our top rankers, if I'm being honest. And I think it applies so much, not only just for the athletes, but the coaches, the practitioners like me. And we have a lot of people who are just casual listeners. I think it's not just for athletic and performance, right?
It's for life, mate. Yeah, it's for life, eh? Absolutely, mate.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think in so many aspects, whether like what you're saying with work, if you're having a bad day at work, apply these principles to yourself. Because like you said, the biggest project you're going to work on is you. And I think so many people can take that away. So Dave, I appreciate your time. I know you're super busy. I know the great work that you're doing. So I appreciate that you're taking the time to talk to little old me and come on my podcast. So mate, appreciate it so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Jordan. Thank you, mate. I really appreciate you inviting me, bud. And I'll catch you at the next fight, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Now that the bubble is slowly popping, I think I might even pop over and, I might have to harass you and make you have a beer with me. So,
I'm all for that, buddy.
All right, mate. Well, until next time, we'll chat soon. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it, bud.
And there it is, another episode of the Fight Science Podcast. If you aren't motivated after that talk, then you need to go get a checkup from your doctor. it is not hard to see why elite level athletes, CEOs, businessmen and women, professionals, and anyone who's looking for a mental edge goes to see Big Dave Neathy. He's a truly motivating, inspiring, and effective leader in his field. This podcast will be available through the podcast app, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and you'll also be able to download it from my website, www.thefightdietitian.com/podcast. If you enjoy listening to the podcast, then be sure to head to the podcast app to give us a rating and leave us a review. Thanks for listening in, and I'll see you guys for the next episode of the Fight Science Podcast.